Captain's log, May 25th, 2156. After the completion of our last mission and the tragedy that ensued, we were grateful for the arrival of our latest dispatches. It had been 2 weeks since we last received letters from home. With tensions already high, they'd been looking for an outlet for venting. Of particular interest was a recording of the World Series. While the sport declined over a decade ago, a recent resurgence of nostalgia has brought it back in recent years. We received games 4 and 6 in our last dispatch. A few prayers were heard muttered that we would be able to see the rest. In addition to the shock of the Chicago Cubs beating the Tokyo Dragons in the playoffs, the surprise inside the park home run saved the Cubs in game 6 of the series. Lieutenant Commander Westlake was pleased by this unexpected turn of events. Goldman's only reply was, Deus ex machina.
They don't stand a chance, Eugene.
This is their year, Jacob. I can feel it.
Scientifically speaking, the statistics are not in his favor.
Are you trying to sound Vulcan, Doc?
Does it bother you?
Yes.
Good.
That's out number 2, Eugene. Bottom of the 9th, and your boys are down by 2 with only one man on. Care to pay up now?
We still have a chance. It's not over until the fat lady sings.
Time to pay, Westlake.
You're not fat, Mary.
Thanks for noticing.
I...
You know, Eugene, that blushing is caused when the veins in the skin are supplied with beta-adrenoceptors, in addition to the common alpha-adrenoceptors, resulting in a marked redness of one's face.
Oh, leave him alone, Doc. He's kinda cute when he's all flustered like that.
Cut it out, Lieutenant, or the doc may have to bring him some oxygen.
A hit! They got a hit!
That and a dime will get you a cup of coffee.
Nowhere in this sector of space it won't.
What's a dime?
Not what it used to be.
Oh no. Benavides is up to bat.
He's what, 0 for 15 right now?
What's Parkinson doing? Put in a pinch hitter.
If you believed in prayer, this would be the time, Westlake.
Don't tempt me, Fitzgerald. I'm desperate.
Strike one!
Oh, God.
What was that?
Your idea.
You must be desperate. Of course, 250 years without the big win will do that to you.
It's only been 248 years. Damn!
That has to be the fastest blasphemy from a recent convert in history. Time to pay, Westlake.
Seriously, though, boy, you need to calm down a bit. You're going to hyperventilate if you're not careful.
Isn't that what you're all aiming for?
The bet was never fair to begin with. I won't expect... I don't freaking believe it.
I don't freaking believe it.
I know you're happy, Eugene, but you ever try that again, and I'll put you in traction.
Sorry.
It might be worth it, Eugene. I have very strong narcotics to ease the pain.
What you have, Max, are empathic leeches from Mazar that feed on pain.
Whatever works. And I told you, call me Old Sawbone.
Not on your life, Max.
I don't freaking believe it.
No, he really does want people to call him that. It's gross.
I don't think that's what he meant.
Tactical alert. All hands to battle stations. Tactical alert.
I don't believe it.
What?
Hell really has frozen over.
Computer, freeze program.
That was all well and good, Admiral. It seemed as though you had a lot of fun. But may I be so bold as to ask what something that happened 200 years ago has to do with us?
You mean, besides the fact that it was one of the last great baseball games played?
Yes, sir.
While it might not have frozen over, things were going there in a handbasket. And it looks as though they may be going there again.
Space, the final frontier.
history, the tapestry on which those exploits are woven. These are the voyages of multiple generations of Starfleet officers who have sought out new life and new civilizations. As each generation boldly goes forth, those that follow build upon the legacy.
Heading 173.94 Mark 8, or 4.5 engaged, Captain. Estimated time of arrival, 97 minutes.
Acknowledged, Lieutenant Lau. Engineering.
Here.
Cal, we need to hold warp factor 4.5 for 97 minutes.
As long as it's not bumpy, we can take it up to 4.7.
Make it so.
Huh?
Increase warp, Lieutenant.
Increasing warp to 4.7. New estimated time, 79 minutes.
I just hope they can hold out that long. Fitzgerald, Avery, Westlake, join me in the situation room.
Aye, Captain.
Lau, take us off of tactical alert. If I have to listen to that for the next hour and a half, I'm going to start talking to myself.
Aye, Captain.
Five minutes ago, we received a distress call from the ECS Marco Polo. There's been an explosion that has crippled their engines and they're losing atmosphere. They don't know what caused the damage.
We'll be in sensor range in an hour.
These coordinates are accurate?
I certainly hope so.
I recognize these from a tactical briefing from the Enterprise.
I recall that they issued a no-fly zone in that area. What is the Marco Polo doing there?
Piracy?
Let's not jump to conclusions, but also not take any chances. Bridge to Makos.
Goldman here.
Prepare an away party for a rescue mission. Be ready for possible hostiles.
Understood, Captain. I'm always ready for hostiles.
Bridge out.
Do you believe pirates chased them in there, or that they are pirates?
A little of A, a little of B. Better to cover all our bases.
I've got the technical schematics here for the mines.
These are tricky suckers. We'll need to use the quantum beacons to locate them.
I'm not familiar with this situation. Why do we need the quantum beacons?
In spite of the fact that the Vulcan High Command disavows the feasibility of sensor shield or masking technology, the Enterprise encountered a field of explosive devices that were cloaked from standard scans. Theoretically, with enough energy, light and other EM waves can be redirected around an object, making it functionally invisible. In order to complete this task, however, the object in question would need to have access to energies equivalent to a small sun, or a warp reactor 100 times stronger than anything the Challenger could generate. Building on this theory...
While standard sensor scans don't detect the mines, the advanced technology of the quantum beacons can pick them up, just like the Suliban ships.
But as the NX ships are the only ones to be outfitted with the beacons, the cargo ship would have been blind as a bat.
Exactly.
Why didn't the Enterprise drop warning buoys?
If I remember everything correctly, the Enterprise's captain and weapons officer were disarming a mine that had attached to their hull while the ship was being chased by enemy forces. Quite frankly, they didn't have time.
We'll take the time.
If I modify buoys with quantum beacon technology...
Can you do that in the next 60 minutes?
No, it'd take days.
Then let's focus on what we can do now. The less time we are floating around in the middle of a minefield with potential enemies waiting to swoop down on us like a bird of prey, the better.
Like some great bird of the galaxy?
Something like that.
It would be best if we can just maneuver around the mines and tow the ship out.
If the Enterprise had to defuse one of the mines, isn't that in the report as well?
It's in the schematics.
But there are real bits to disarm.
Can it be done if it's needed?
Anything can be done if it's needed. It's just something I would rather avoid.
I wouldn't be caught dead on the hull of a ship.
Westlake, you passed the zero-G simulations. You have the requisite hours of pressure suit training. You personally inspect your own suit at least twice a week to ensure its integrity. Your fear of spending any time in the vacuum of space is irrational.
Irrational fear is fear nonetheless. As a trained counselor, you should know that.
With any luck, all of that will be a moot point.
I think the Cubs just used up all the luck for this century.
Computer, time jump ahead 72 minutes and continue in observation mode.
Captain, the Makos are ready and on standby in shuttle pods 1 and 2.
Grappling cables are deployed. Quantum beacons are online.
Warp field is stable and ablative armor is online.
Getting a good signal from them, Captain. Minefield is dead ahead.
Avery, try raising the Marco Polo.
Communications appear to be disabled, Captain. Even their emergency signal is stopped.
Captain, torpedoes are loaded and phase cannons are online.
Westlake, scan the vessel and see what's going on over there.
I'm reading all 22 life signs, strong but fading. Main power is offline and backup is at 12%. 78% of atmosphere has escaped and... oh boy.
Oh boy?
I hate it when worst case scenarios come true.
Exactly which worst case scenario are we talking about here?
A mine has attached itself to her hull, directly above the antimatter containment field.
The good news is that this area of the ship is heavily shielded, primarily to protect against attack.
But the bad news is that with power, and therefore containment shields so low, any explosion is liable to blow the core and set off a chain reaction that will blow half the star system to hell.
My Makos are ready to launch. I volunteer to defuse the mine.
Forget that. I'll disarm the mine. You lead your team.
Sergeant Hudson is perfectly capable of leading the team. Your place is here on the bridge.
My place, Major, is wherever the hell I say it is.
Small correction there. Your place is wherever the hell I say it is.
Sorry, sir, but I've specialized in munitions. His job is helping secure the Polo.
My job is maintaining security away from the ship. You take care of the ship. The mine isn't attached to the Challenger, it's attached to the Marco Polo, thus away from the ship.
American egos.
We've spent the past hour going over schematics and formulating proper procedures to avoid the same difficulties Lieutenant Reed encountered. It really is safest for Mary to defuse the mine, as she has the familiarity.
Glad you agree, Lieutenant Commander, as you're coming with me.
What?
As you just stated, we've gone over the schematics for the last hour together.
I can't.
Please explain.
I will be needed at the science station during the mission.
I'm fully rated on the science station. I can handle getting whatever readings may be needed.
It's more than just taking readings. I need to actively scan the area to monitor the progress of the way parties, the stability of the cargo, measure for volatility of the mine while it's being disarmed, and watch for any spatial anomalies that may represent the arrival of the alien spacecraft that were reported in this area.
I installed the quantum beacons and have memorized the specs. I know their functions as well as you do. Lau can monitor for anomalies and keep an eye on the cargo vessel. If the lieutenant wants you with her, you should go.
But it's not safe to have two senior officers in such a dangerous situation.
There's nothing in the Starfleet Charter about being safe.
Avery, as a qualified counselor, you understand, although my fears are irrational, they're no less real. Due to my heightened state of panic, I'll be a liability more than an asset.
Captain, on this one point, I must agree. And would therefore suggest that Dr. Rembrandt administer a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. This would temporarily alleviate the symptoms of his kinophobia.
I am not afraid of empty space. I am afraid of sucking vacuum, less commonly known in Latin as horror vacui.
You check and double-check your spacesuit at least once a week. You know that it's in perfect working order. Don't you trust your own competence?
I...
Enough! This isn't a debate. Nor do we work off the volunteer system. We choose the best person for the job to make sure it gets done right. Whether you like it or not, Lieutenant Commander, you're in Starfleet, and the best man to ensure Fitzgerald's safe return. You're going. Suit up and see the doctor. Then tell him to report to Shuttle Pod 2 to accompany the boarding party. I want him on hand for medical emergencies. That's an order. End of discussion.
Yes, sir.
Good man. Let's get to work, people.
Computer, freeze program.